Today's daf in Masechet Shviyos in Yerushalmi, on this day of, we're a little bit behind, so I shouldn't really say, but it's our today's daf, is daf hey, and I just wanted to go over with you the structure of things until this point. We spent the first Mishnah in understanding the relationship of the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim, Pesach for Estei Lavan, and Shvuas for Estei Ilan, and why it no longer applies b'yameinu, and we saw that there's a number of possibilities, either that it was included in the original takana, that it can be changed at some later date, or because Rabbi Gamliel has himself a completely different analysis in which the pasuk says beferish, that things should be mutter, just like Erev Shabbos is mutter to the last minute, so too is this mutter to the last minute, which also taught us that a later Beis Din is capable of completely undoing the drasha that an earlier Beis Din makes. Now, if it wasn't based on a drasha and if it was based on a takana, that would be a problem, and we'd have to answer that by saying that they included in the takana because of the danger to people's ability to survive during Shemitah with these chumras. Included in the original takana was the right for a later Beis Din to take off the takana as necessary, and we said maybe to replace the takana as necessary, which according to one shita was the reason that we kept the Mishnah in place. Now, what about the halakha l'meishim Sinai, which is 30 days before? How come we're talking about all the way till Rosh Hashanah? And mind you, as we said, in Mayat Katan, there is a shita that says that this whole discussion is not all the way till Rosh Hashanah, the way that the Yerushalmi says, how come we do it today all the way till Rosh Hashanah? No, it's only 30 days before, because 30 days before may be halakha l'meishim Sinai. And apparently we agree also it's halakha l'meishim Sinai, as we'll see in today's daf where we get this from. But even if it is halakha l'meishim Sinai, as the Rambam paskins, it is halakha l'meishim Sinai that is only for the time that the Beis HaMikdash exists and not for other times. Now, that sounds very arbitrary, and we're going to see later today that actually it's not arbitrary. So that was basically our first daf. Our second daf gave the definition. I should actually forget about dafs. We should actually go according to the halachas, right? So that was really the first halacha. Now, the second halacha came to define what a stay ilan is. So we said that a stay ilan, and remember, if it's not a stay ilan, then we're going to have to be machmer on it only when the trei prakim arishonim are in effect, right? But if it's not a stay ilan, what is it? Well, then we're going to have to be machmer on it like a stay lavan, as meaning a grain field. A stay lavan is only till Pesach. So this heter to go for another 50 days from Pesach till Shavuos is only where it was defined as a stei ilan. So how did we define the stei ilan? Alona, you're looking bored. Well, then you're looking too relaxed. So what is a stei ilan? A stei ilan is a beit sa'ah, which is 2,500 square amos, that has three trees in it, that are producing 60 manas, and the way we came out with the Rambam, and this is the way we've been learning all the way through, prorated, that you are then, if you have that in a Beit Sa'ah, you're allowed to continue to treat that Beit Sa'ah as a stei ilan all the way till Shavuos. Otherwise, you'll have to stop by Pesach. Again, Bizman Hazeh, none of this applies, and you would be able to go all the way till the last minutes prior to the Rosh Hashanah of Shviyas. But all of this is in terms of the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim. So then, there we compared this to the concepts of the nourishment where you would be buying three Ilanais. And we found that there were various rules in terms of purchase, which would define when it is that you have a right to claim that with the purchase of the trees came the rights to the property under the trees, between the trees, and even the area around where you need to actually be able to collect. And that was a question whether it needs to be made, like Rav says, it needs to be in a way that is triangular, which makes it very difficult for the seller to be able to work the land, so he must have meant to give you the land. Shmuel says it's even if it's in a straight row. And then we had a sub-machlokas about, is that true about Shemitah too? Or was that true only in terms of the halacha of Mecher. Now, we also learned over there that they cannot be too close to each other. If they're too close to each other, meaning you don't have four amas, which is the shear of a tractor, in terms of the Mishnah, the shear of a bakar, with the kelim of the yoke and the plow. So then, that would not be enough, and there was another shot in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, the question was whether Krovim applies also. We didn't go into that approach, but I guess I should mention it. Now, the question that we had at this point is that agriculturally, these ideas don't make all that much sense. Because if we have to have a scattering these three trees in a Beit Sa'ah, so we've only got 16 amas around each tree that are considered to be the area of the tree, 32 amas between the trees. Masha'in came, we're telling you that to the side, to either side of these trees, you can go for 25 amas. So what's the logic in that? Another point, what's the logic in saying if it was up against a fence? So then you get the whole 50 by 50? So then what if you move the fence? So move the fence to all four sides, you know, and then you get four sa'ah out of just this one thing. I mean, does that make sense? And what about in a case where you've got a mountainside? You've got some trees on top and some trees on the bottom. You're going to tell me that the roots of the trees go upwards the same way the roots of the tree go downward? I mean, that is a contradiction to our experience, our agricultural experience. And that we said, well, maybe it's related to the idea of keeping your tree roots distant from a neighbor's pipe, water pipes, or in the case of the Mishnah, there's a water cistern. And we considered that issue as being nogea, the idea of the, maybe it just is that it loosens it from the bottom. And in the end, we say that, you know, the truth is it's only a das yochid, and there is no such halacha of worrying about roots that are going upwards when it comes to damages in Bava Basra either. Okay, so now that brought us to halacha gimel, which is a review that we should do word for word, because that was the last daf that we did on daf dalet of the particular print that we're using now, which is the Ozvada print. So let's go over that inside. So in a case where we've been talking about figs, how about if it's not a fruit-producing tree at all? Doesn't matter. It's the same shear. So then how do you determine the 60 kikar if it doesn't produce fruit? Well, what it means is that the fig represents a standard in terms of tree size. So a tree that, if it were a fig tree, would actually be producing the shishimona b'italki, then we say that it's okay to work all the way until shvuish. But if not, you can only work, again, while the effect is still in effect, shnei prakim harishonim, you'd only be allowed to work until Pesach, because we don't give it the din of the halacha of stei ilan. How about where some of the trees produce it, some don't? Or maybe two produce, but one doesn't. Again, the way we understand the Gemara, like the Rambam, it's referring to producing the prorated share. Doesn't mean producing the whole shishimona, like the Rash explains over here. We haven't been taking that shot that seriously. So maybe shnayim osim, echad eni osim, ein chorshim lam elat sorchan. So then you can work them, yes, but only each one individually for what it requires around it. And that is until you get three that are producing. This is true, mishlosha atisha. But what if you have 10 trees? Once you have 10 trees in a Beit Sa'ah, Hoyu Asaram, Yasara Lamala, Bein Osim, Bein Einam Osim, you can be Choresh Kol Beit Sa'ah Bishvilan, all the way up to Shvuas. Again. Or, before the Rabbanah made that Takana, all the way up to Shloshim Yom before Rosh Hashanah, if it's at the time of the Beis HaMikdash and the original Halacha L'Meshem Yisinai was in effect, or the Limud from B'Choresh U'B'Kotzer Tishbos was in effect. So remember, there are different things we're discussing, very important, otherwise it's extremely confusing. The first layer of the discussion is what is mutter to do all the way to Shavuos, and what has to stop at Pesach, because we don't give you the status of trees, okay? The other level of the discussion is, what can you do up to 30 days before, where there was no level of takana of the chachamim? And you'll see why I'm bringing this up now, because it introduces the next stage, which is the Eser Netiyos, which brings us all the way back to an understanding of the complex weave of halacha l'moshe Sinai's that relate to these halachas. And then we have the case Bisman Hazeh, according to the Yerushalmi, which is all the way till literally minutes before Shemitah. And according to some, one of the Shitas in the Bavli, only up till 30 days before. So let's say one of them is Isaac Kikar Devela, but you've got two that not. So the Mishnah says, okay, you can only look at the ones that can produce. But once you've got 10 trees mean not 10 saplings, which we'll see is a completely different halacha, but we've got 10 mature trees. Those are called ilanot. Once there's 10 trees, then there's no requirement of the shishim italki. This is clearly a orchard. It's clearly a stay ilan, and that would be okay for what? Well, during the Shnei Prakim Rishonim would be okay till Shavuos. If we're talking about before the Rabbanan's Gezerah, it would be okay up until the Halacha L'moshe Sinai, which is 30 days before, or according to that sheet in the Bavli, 30 days before. Halacha L'maisa, anyway, it's mutter until Shemitah itself. So once you get to 10, Hayu Asara, Miasara L'mala, Bein Osim, Bein Shein Osim, Chorshim Ko, Beitza Abishvilan, Sheneemar, now this is weird, Sheneemar, Becharishu Bakatzir Tishpot, that's an Isser, that's an Eter. Okay, but the Gemara will discuss that today. What does Becharishu Bakatzir Tishpot means? It tells me why it's Osir, the first part of the Mishnah. And this, of course, is the Lima that we've been working with all along, which we had from the very beginning. Because that's a separate pasuk. This is talking about Choresh al Erev Shvias and Nichnas Shvias. And the Kotzer of Shvias is Yotzer L'Metzor Shvias. That too is also from the pasuk. Comes along Rabbi Yishmael and he says, no, it's a completely different limud. Ma Choresh Rishus, Af Kotzer Rishus. There's nowhere in the Torah that there's a mitzvah to do Choresh. And therefore, if it puts it together, b'chorish u'b'katzir, then it's telling you that if it's a mitzvah, you can violate shvius, and for the katzir ha'omer, you're allowed to actually be katzir in order to bring the omer from the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the question is, why do we use fig trees? V'lama omru te'enim, that's because ha'yedei sheperoteim gasim, be'imosot harbe. As opposed to an esrog. An esrog does have big temani esrogim. True, but there's not a lot of them. In osaharbe. What about olives? A lot of olives, yeah. They're osaharbe, but ain't perotei gasim. But the fig is a great benchmark, easy to measure, a big kula. It makes harbe, perotei gasim, and you can easily get to the 25 kilo yield that we're talking about. The Elu, fine. Omer Rabbi Barada, Kol Ilania, the reason we use figs is because figs are always turned on. And therefore, Kol Ilania Avdin Shana Parashana. There are times that they don't do the job. Vashenkin the Ta'ina is Avda Kol Shana. All right, this all has Ramosim, by the way, back to Gan Eden, as I mentioned to you about the Te'ena, which is also one of the strong differences between Adam and Behemah, that Adam is always turned on, as Chazal pointed out, and animals are not always turned on. That's part of the Shlit of the Yetzer by Adam, which Te'ena is Miramis to in terms of the Yetzer Das. Haya Echad Oseh, and so on. So Rav Bibi V'Shem Rav Chanina says, yes, if you've got more than these three trees, you've got three trees, you've got to prorate it. And they've got to do, each one has to have a minimum of 1/3 of the 60, right? Again, the Rashi's Shita is weird, but he learns this is talking about we've got 10. So, Bilvad, that you won't have less than prorated the three. Zir Bar Chanina says, well, and if you've got 9, So you have to prorate the nine. Now, suppose you've got four, or you are ba'a, and the problem is that those four are properly spaced, but you've got two in addition where there's not the proper space. Remember, the proper space is the tractor space, which is four amas. Shnayim, between which, ina bakar over bekelav. Therefore, mikivan shina bakar over bekelav, the two that are too close together can only equal one, because one of them is not sustainable and is going to be uprooted. And therefore, ein roi notan ke'ilo ela chamisha. They only will be five. And therefore, if you prorate them, you have to prorate them on the basis of five trees, not on the basis of six trees. Hoyu chamisha, now we get to the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbona. Because we learned by Kilayim, that Nina Kaman, Kerem Shunatua Pachot Miharba Amot, between the rows of the Kerem, Rabbi Shimon says, well, that kills it. It's not a Kerem. Chachamim says, sure, it's a Kerem. Because the point is that you're going to have to uproot the ones that the odd rows between, right? Because it's not sustainable. Okay, so then once you've got enough rows, Ro'ina Te'em Tza'iyot, Ki'ilo Enam, and everything is fine. The Chorshim So then the same thing would be true over here, that we just ignore every other tree, but we still have three trees once you got the five, and therefore, according to that shita, you've got three ilanot that are sustainable in a Beit Sa'af, 2,500 square amas, and therefore you're allowed to work the entire area. Okay, today's Gemara. Today's daf in Masechet Shviit is daf Hey. And we're holding on the first line. The Mishnah ended very strangely, if you only read the last part of the Mishnah, where it's talking about you can go ahead and be choresh if you have 10 trees or more. You can. That's crazy. Is why you cannot, not why you can. So what was that referring to? Well, obviously, that's going back to the first part of the Mishnah, right? First part of the Mishnah started with the words, if you don't have enough to be called a Steilan, Ein Chorshim Lahem Ela Tzorchan, Shenemar Becharishabak Tzir Tishbot. That's what's going back to explain. Where does the basic Isser come from? And then we went to the whole Limud, Ein Tzorch Lomer Katzashal Shviyas, and so on and so forth, because those are Beferish Apsukim. And at the end comes along Rabbi Yishmael, and he says, I disagree with this limud. That's not what it's coming to teach me. Becharishu ba'katsir tishpot is coming to tell me an amazing halacha. If you need to bring the korban ha'omer, then you do not have to worry about isurei shviyas. Wow. This Rabbi Yishmael is exactly the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael that we find all over. Because Rabbi Yishmael says, look, you cannot, by the way, he says the same thing about Shabbos, right? The Ketzira Omer, not only Bechor Shabbatzir, B'Shabbos Bereshis, and B'Shabbos Shviyas. The reason is, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, the halacha is that the Omer can only be brought from Eretz Yisrael proper. You would not be able to bring the Omer from Syria. So then that means, so what am I going to do? If it's Shemitah, I still have to bring the Omer. So obviously the Torah is not giving up on the mitzvah of Omer during Shviyas. That's why it says, Yotzak Tzira Omer, which is a mitzvah. And therefore, he holds. I mean, according to others, if you bring from places where there's no Shviyas, so then fine. But no, according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's the only place to bring the Omer. Therefore, comes along the Torah to tell us, Yotzak Tzira Omer, which therefore will be doicha both Shabbos and Shviyas. This brings us to Halacha Dalet, which adds, what happens if these trees belong to different people? In other words, is the din of a Steilan said Benogea, the individual who owns the Steilan, or is it a din in the land itself? Shlosha Ilanot, which belong to Shlosha Anashim, Hare Elam Itztarfim. There's no problem. It's a din in the land. It's not a din in the ownership. And therefore, Kol Shim, Kol Beit Sa'a Bishvilan. So they're all part of the same Steilan. And again, if we're talking about the Shnei Prakim Arishanim, they can be taken care of Becharisha all the way up until Shavuos. V'kama yehe b'neihem, how much space do they need between them, which we've never discussed before. I mean, we discussed it, but the Mishnah never gave us its clear-cut psak. Says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, here is the marker from what we've taken all along as a given. Kidei shiyei habakar, I think is the correct pronunciation, not habokar. Habakar, the man who's driving the tractor, bekelav, because obviously if it's referring to his, who is the antecedent? The antecedent is the man who's driving. So the bakar has to be gone through with all of the things that he's using, his tractor, his plow, or his yoke, whatever. Okay, so now, how about if you have trees that belong to one person and the ground belongs to another person? What's the din over there? Tani Rabbi Chia, it's exactly the same thing. That follows as a given from the Mishnah. If you have ilanot shel adam echad, and you have a karka that belongs to Adam Acher, Chorshim kol beitza'a b'shvilan. It makes no difference. And that's basically our Mishnah, says Rabbi Yosef, of course. Afanan tanina de Rabbi Chia Rabba. What Rabbi Chia the Great has said is clear from the Mishnah. Shlosha ilanot, shoshlosha nashim, hare elo mitztarfim. So what do we see? That it's a din in the property, and it's not a din in the person and the ownership. They're mitztarfim v'chorshim kol beit sa'ah ad Rosh Hashanah. If that's the case, then that would be the case in this here too, where, by the way, the words ad Rosh Hashanah, the Gro takes out because it doesn't make any sense. We're not talking about ad Rosh Hashanah, right? I mean, we're talking about the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim. If you mean ad Rosh Hashanah, then that would be always true. Anything b'zman hazeh would be ad Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, the Gro says this is a mistake. Leave those words out. So Harielu Mitztarfim is the important point. Halacha, hey. Now, we come up with what turns out to be a central turning point in our understanding of all of these halachas. This Mishnah is talking about at any time, even where the halacha l'mashim Sinai was in effect, and it was usher, or the psukim were in effect, and it was usher midiraisa to plant 30 days before. And even at a time when there were the gezeres. But there's one halacha that is a completely different din, and it sounds the same. It's beautiful the way the Mishnah has flowed into this. It sounds the same as the previous Mishnah, about once you've got 10 trees, we don't care how much they produce. Yeah, but this is a totally different halacha. This is called the halacha of Eser Netiot. The Eser Netiot halacha says that if you've got 10 Netiot in a Beit Sa'ah, and they're properly spaced, not like the case of the Shlosha mature trees, which are called Ilanot, but these are actually spread out. Part of the halacha is that they need to be Mefuzarot. So they need to be prorated, each portion of the land, for each one of these Netiot. Because of the sensitivity to the young trees, saplings, very sensitive. If they're not properly taken care of, then you're going to end up losing them. You can't stop dealing with the ground around them. You can't stop taking care of them with water and harisha and so on. And therefore, there's a halacha l'meshi Sinai, as we'll see, that chorshim kol beitzah ad Rosh Hashanah, even where there was a halacha. And in that case, the Torah was matir to go. That means that we need, since it's a young tree, we need only one-tenth of the Beit Sa'ah. Hashem Kenim, Elon, was in need of one-third, right? But to get with a sapling, the same halacha, you need 10. That's one difference. But on the other hand, there's another major difference. The din of the stay ilan, that's all a drabana. But the din of Eser Netiyais, as opposed to the Eser Ilanais, which over there, they do not have that sensitivity. And the Torah was never matir them during the time of the Beis HaMikdash when it was Eser to plant. But when it comes to Eser Netiyais, then you can. So there's many differences. Even though it sounded exactly the same, once you get to 10, a totally different halacha. So over here, we're dealing with another halacha l'Moshe Mi Sinai, as we're going to see. Now, what about if these Esser Netiyos are not spread properly? What if they're just in a straight line? And they're still in a Beit Sa'ah, but they're not actually spread out over a real Beit Sa'ah, meaning 50 by 50, where they're made mukafot atara. That's the way the Rambam understands it. Most of the Mefarshim understand mukafot atara differently, which I'll explain in a moment. So even if they're made like a circle or a semicircle, ein chorshim lehem ela tzorchan. The only thing you can do is you can give each one of them for whatever is necessary, but as opposed to the ilanot, where we didn't care how it's shaped, and that was the whole point that we were saying, agriculture, that's not the point. Binogea up until Chag HaShavua is to be called the Steilan. This halacha, we do care how it's shaped. Now that's one way of reading it. That's the way the Pirush HaMishnayos reads it. Lamaisa, the Mefarshei HaMishnah, mostly read that the idea of mukafot atara is not a reference to how they're shaped, but rather they are mukafot, not makifot, like an atara, which means that there's a fence around them. So if there's a fence around them, which basically makes it not a full Beit Sa'ah, then we don't give the heter. Okay, this halacha about Eser Netiyos, there are other things that we're going to see, came hand in hand with Eser Netiyos. And therefore, we always discuss them together. This is what it says in the Bavli. It's maybe different over here, but we'll see that this has very important implications because it turns out to be the basis of our assumption that the halacha was only given bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam, and it wasn't a specific tnai in the halacha. That's what the mashmaut is in the Bavli. Could be the Yerushalmi holds differently. So we put together Rabbi Zira and Rabbi La and Rabbi Yaza b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, and they said, and we'll see why they're saying this here, Arava is Allah l'mesh misina. That this, that we did, the mitzvah of Arava, what is the mitzvah of Arava? That's a big machlokas. So remember, we have two major shitas. The mitzvah of Arava is that we put these Aravas on the Mizbeach, and then we walk around them, the Kohanim walk around them, with a lulav and an eser. The other pshat is, we put down the lulav and the eser, we take the arava, and we walk around the Mizbeach with these enormous aravot. But whatever that mitzvah is, it is a halacha l'meshem Sinai, which is not like Abba Shaul, because Abba Shaul says, no, there's a mocker in the Torah itself for arava. Because when the Torah says arvei nachal, it's saying that's a minimum of two. It's a lashon of rabim, arvei nachal. What are the two mitzvahs? One is the arava in the lulav, and one is the arava in the mikdash. So one is the arba minim, and one is this whole new thing that we do of walking around the mizbeach. Rebbe Ba, remember that in Yerushalmi, just like today, and the Israelis drop their olives, they not referring to the fruit, they used to drop their olives at the time of the Yerushalmi as well. So Reb Abba became Rebba. Where's the olive? And Rebbe Ba, Rebbe Chia, Hashem Rebbe Yochanan says, Arava and Nisuch HaMayim are Ahalacha L'Moshe Misinai. Now, wherever we find these words, and therefore the Gra changes the Lashon here, to read as it always does everywhere else where we bring these halachas, Arava, Eser Netiyos, V'Nisuch HaMayim, puts the three together, are all halacha l'moshe misinai. And that's the way it's always quoted and quoted here in this din, in Mesechas Sukkah. Same thing, we have the same thing in a number of places. In the Bavli, Arava, Eser Netiyos, V'Nisuch HaMayim, or Eser Netiyos, Arava, V'Nisuch HaMayim, are all connected. Now, even though it sounds like they're not connected, but the mashmaut is that they are deeply connected. At least the mashmaut in Moed Katan is that they are deeply connected, because the idea is that they were taught together so that we learn, just like the Nisach HaMayim is only at a time that the Beis HaMikdash is Kayam, so too are these other mitzvahs, only Nogea Bishah that a Beis HaMikdash is Kayam. And this is not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says Nisach HaMayim is not Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. Nisach HaMayim has a Mokar Midoraisa. To Rabbi Akiva Omar, look at the Psukim and you will see an amazing remez to the Chiyuv of Nisach HaMayim. It's Dvar Torah, because if you look at the Chiyuv of bringing the Karbonos HaMusaf, there's only 3 days where there's a change in the Lashon that strikes you right across the face. And you wonder, what? Every single Musaf, it says, Milvad Olata Tamid Minchata Veniska. There's only one place where it says, Veniskehem. What happened? What happened to Veniska? Ah, that gave you an extra mem, isn't it? So that is a mem mentioned on the second day of Sukkot. On the sixth day of Sukkot, also so weird, instead of Veniska, what does it say? Unsocheha. Oh my gosh, that gives you a yud. Take a mem. Take a yud. And then on the seventh day in the Musaf, it says, throws in a new word. Instead of saying kemishpat, it says kemishpatam. Gives you an extra mem. Give me a mem. Give me a yud. Give me a mem. And what do you get? Mem yud mem equals mayim. So you see, says Rabbi Akiva, you need to have water. And that is a remez to the Nisach HaMayim in the Torah. A way to remember this, of course, is the beautiful, beautiful Zohar that says that also spells something else. Beit is the second day. Vav is the sixth day. Zion is the seventh day. Put them all together and what do you get? Booze. And what is that referring to? The Goyim. The Goyim think that they can do these mitzvahs. Im yitein ish et kol hon beito biava. You want to buy love? You can give trillions. Boz yavozilo. People will laugh you right out of the stage. Idiot. You can't buy love. Fabulous. So now you'll remember what the 3 days are. Beit Vav Zayin. All about the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shekhinah, and Adam that allows water. And that brings the Adam Ayin Laveres Adama into Sukkot. Okay, so now the question is like this. The Mishnah just said the din of Eser Netiyos, but this doesn't make any sense. Says Rabbi Chiya bar Ava, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, what? But I see people plowing nowadays, even completely mature trees. Zikenot. Achshav lameim choshim bezikenot. How come nowadays people plant again, the way the Yerushalmi understands it, is all the way to Rosh Hashanah? Now, we asked the same question before, didn't we? Right? And we said, okay, but that's because of the fact that we said either we have the different way of understanding the Pasuk, or we have a different understanding that the Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai that asers Tosefta Shviyas. And that's none of these that we're talking about. It's a different Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. Aser Tosefta Shviyas 30 days before Shemitah. But now the Gemara says, hold on a second. If there's a Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai that says that you are allowed to work a field of saplings until Rosh Hashanah, then essentially that is sick. If it's not saplings, mature trees, sorry, they would be usher at Rosh Hashanah, right? So now we've got two problems. Besides the overall din that we have Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai up until 30 days before Rosh Hashanah is usher, we have this additional Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai that you just brought, that only the netiyos are mutter up until Rosh Hashanah, which tells you clearly But if they're not netiyos, they're osur. This is a whole different mukkah for the iser. How come people today ignore that iser? That you never explained to me. So Reb Chiya bar Abba Boy came Reb Yochanan, so explained to me how that's possible. Said Reb Yochanan, because at the time that this halacha lemeisha Misinai was said, it was said with the understanding she'im bi'kshulach rosh yachrosh, which basically can be understood to mean exactly this nekuda, since it was put together with the halacha of nisach hamayim. That means that if it's necessary to do the harisha, you can do the harisha, because it doesn't apply if there's no beis hamikdash. Maybe it doesn't automatically go off, but if a beis din doesn't want to apply it, it won't apply it. Fine. Says Rav Ba Bar Zavdi b'shem Rav Chunya de Bikas Beis Choron, Arova v'nisach hamayim v'eser netiyot are not halacha l'moshe Sinai. They are miyesod neviim. Now, when we say yesod neviim, there are those who put in neviim arishanim. That is definitely wrong, as we're going to see, because yesod neviim is a reference to Chagai Zechariah Malachi at the time of the Anshe Knesset Hagdela, and they instituted this, and that's why we say, when we say the little tefillah about Arava, the Minag neviim, that goes even on the Iker din of Arava. What? So they argue about whether there was a Moshe Mitzvah, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah, Ma, Upalig? No. Says Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Bon, Meshem Rabbi Levi, of course they don't argue. Everybody agrees there was a Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah. The problem was that it was forgotten. Then came along the Nevi'im Achreinim, V'Hiskimu Al Da'at HaRishonim, and they were able to reconstitute the halachas, said even though we forgot all of these dinim specifics, the Beis Din of Chagai Zechariah Malachi used the keach of Ruach HaKedesh, and they were aimed on it. The Lametcha, you know what this teaches you? That kol davar shebeidin notnim nafsham alav, if you give your life up to put your entire life into understanding the Torah, obviously, you can't rediscover Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah, and it should be Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah, but it ended up that Klal Yisrael was mekabel it as if it was mamish, the original Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah. That's how I understand Aliba, the approach of the Rambam, which is not like a very problematic Rashi that says in the Bavli that they use the Keach HaNevuah to be able to reconstruct the halacha, because how can you use the Keach HaNevuah to reconstruct the halacha? It's a big issue over there that the Rishonim even talk about, the Oruch argues on Rashi. In any event, this is the way that it's clear from our Gemara over here, I believe. V'as yikod Omar, Rabbi Mana, ki lo davar reiku mikem. So what does it mean that Torah is not davar reik? It's telling me, what's the mikem? Im reiku, it's mikem. If you find that Torah isn't giving you anything, it's because you're a jerk. It's because you're not ready to give it what it needs. She'en atem yegeim bo. You sit back there with your comfortable life and, you know, you got a little bit of time to learn some dinim, you know. You think the Torah is going to give you life? Is that the way you would fight for your life? Well, if that's the way you'd fight for your life, you're dead. So if that's the way you fight for the Torah, so then it isn't life. And if it's reiku, it's mikem. But it's chayechem. She'enatem yegeim bo ki hu chayechem. When is it ki hu chayechem? If you treat it like your life, you fight to the last minute. B'sha'a she'atem yegeim bo. Then you can actually rediscover to the extent that Klal Yisrael will treat it as if it's halacha l'moshe Mitzvah. Okay, Rabosai, beautiful ending to our daf today. Wonderful, wonderful Yisairos. And should be zeichu b'ezrat Hashem to meet tomorrow.